You're listening to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. This is episode 18.
He roves the pack. He gets it. Goal!
And?
He's me captain. Double points.
Oh, right. Okay. We are the traders and we're here to get you through the split round.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I am Calvin, coach of the team. Calvin, and I'm here with Warnie.
Yeah, coach of the Warndogs.
And Roy.
Where is he? He's not here.
Well, what Roy is doing at the moment, he's on this little renaissance mission. He's going around the country trying to speak to all of his AFL fantasy players to make sure that they're on the straight and narrow.
Yep.
Because we are heading into finals. It's not far away, Calvin. We've got 2 weeks to go. Yeah. Or, well, it's three, because this is a split round, which we'll find out all about very, very shortly. But I think we need to get Destroy on the line so we can see how he's been going, but also so we can see how we went this week.
All right, give him a call. Well, I can just check here. He scored 21.97.
He should be up and about.
He's got to be pretty happy with himself, I reckon.
He's usually up and about with this sort of those sorts of scores. So we'll see what he comes up with.
Hello, boys.
Hey, Destroy.
Ah, Destroy.
How you going?
Yeah, good. What's going on?
We're just doing a podcast at the moment. How are you travelling up there at the moment? Whereabouts are you? Which players have you seen today?
Well, it's a bad start because I flew straight up to Cairns to have words with Prestia, but apparently they're already back on the Gold Coast. So I've got to make my way back down there ASAP.
Oh, right.
Definitely. Now, you had a chat to Buddy Roy, I hear.
Yeah, just send him a couple of words on Twitter at halftime and look what happened. So that's obviously why I'm just trying to get around all the boys and have a chat to them before this week, because far out I've got some underperformers.
But you still scored, you nearly scored 2,200 there, Destroy.
Above par.
Yeah, but by my standards, I'm well down.
Oh, really? Oh, right, so...
Why didn't you guys score that much?
Oh, you know that we didn't as well, anyway.
Now, we wasn't going into that. Now, Warnie,
I'll have a word to your boys if I see him as well.
Yeah, you need to get around an old dog's team.
He's been getting a game this week.
Warnie scored 20.66, Roy, this week.
Not good.
No, it's not good.
That's terrible, dog.
You know why it's so bad? Because, Calvin, you scored 21.60, and you actually had a donut. It's like last week all over again.
Yeah, I did. I had a donut, but I was also holding Hibbard. Oh. So,
how many donuts did you have, Warnie?
How many donuts do you have?
None.
What?
No.
And you scored that?
Yes, it's... It's not a good time at the moment. I think my boys have like increased their... They talk about this when a team's going through a bad stage, is that they've increased their workload working towards finals just to build their fitness base, and they're just out on the ground struggling a bit at the moment. But we've won enough games to know that we're going to be up there in the top four.
All right, Roy, give us...
You might want to think about backing off that training, dog, because that score not up to scratch.
All right, Roy, who's your plus three for this week?
My plus two for this week is definitely Buddy. I was copying that many tweets at halftime about how bad he was going, sucked in, destroy, etc.
Yep.
Bang, look what he did. That second half was ridiculous.
Yeah. Crazy. 100 plus, wasn't it? Or 98, I think.
We'll call it 100.
Now, my plus three, I'm giving mine. I think I gave him the negative three last week. But Kieran Jack, back on track, I like to say.
Kieran Jack, back on track.
But I also... James Kelly on the back for his 118.
No, because that's like 59 over 2 weeks average.
All right, who do you go do then?
Stant. How
have you still got Stanton?
Brent Stanton is a machine. He 150 points. Now, we always talk about pig status. He doesn't deserve it, but he goes into pig mode.
He does have pig tendencies.
He has the mode.
I think it was 14 marks he had there on Sunday, so that was pretty exciting. All right, let's look at the negative threes. I'll go on Sunday as well, and it's got to be Clokey. I think Clokey, he must have eaten some bad off chicken or something. Because
have you still got Cloak?
No, not now, because I've already made my trades for this week. No, he's gone. He's been okay. It hasn't been the worst guy that I've ever bought in, but that there was terrible because he was negative three at the start of the game, and as I tweeted out to my mate Cam, who actually talked me into getting him... He was on negative three, and it's a long way back from Clokey for there, and he wasn't able to do a Buddy-type performance, unfortunately. Who was your negative three, Roy?
Well, it hurts me to say it, but how can I not give it to Swanee?
Oh, it's bad.
Swanee, what are you doing?
Do we have to get rid of him?
Is it game over for him?
I don't know. He's just sitting in that forward line. He should have got probably DPP status. Actually, no, they should have stripped him of midfield and just plonked him... At full forward, that is unbelievable how long he spends up there.
Well, we've got plenty of questions about him coming through the Twitter sphere, so I reckon we'll talk about him a little bit later. Calvin, who was yours?
Oh, I like Captain Pendlebury.
Oh,
my goodness. What's going on there?
On our toughest week of picking a captain, because we didn't have Ablett, obviously, and his deputy, Rocky, weren't there. So
84 Pendle's, points.
Pendle's got your number one.
That's his lowest score in his last 22 games.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
Bit of a common trend there of Pies getting -3. That's unheard of.
Oh, wow. They've got a trifecta.
Jeez, that is crazy.
That's very...
That would have happened, I don't
think.
But
I'll tell you what, it was Collingwood just got smashed, and...
They did.
They played a quality team.
He's back again, is he?
Well, I am actually an Essendon supporter again. I've jumped off him for a little while. I think it usually happens mostly when my fantasy team is going badly.
Yeah.
I have noticed that correlation.
There's got to be something that you can get out of life that's good, and it's either fantasy or your actual team. And so for me, the Bombers are number one at the moment. That's the jumper I'm proudly wearing.
Oh, very good.
Not the War Dogs at the minute. Yeah. All right, Roy. So what does your next week hold? And Calvin and I have been chatting. You've given us all these big ideas that you're going around clubs, you're going to see players and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's commitment.
I have a feeling that you'll be sitting in about 30 degrees heat at a swim-up bar. Is that true or false?
That is probably true. There's a bit of truth to it.
Well, unfortunately, there's no AFL clubs based in Cairns at the moment, so I think you might be pulling our leg a little bit.
I'm going to see players come up here, I must admit.
He never claimed he was good at directions.
No, exactly not.
All right, Destroy, we'll look out for Roy's trade talk coming up soon on afl.com.au, and we'll chat to you again soon.
It could be a bigger chopping block than usual, I think. There's a few underperforming premiums.
Righty, I look forward to it.
See you, mate.
Okay, see you, fellas.
Alrighty, heading into the last six rounds of the season, we've got none other than the number one man in the whole world at the moment. He's been there for a couple of weeks, and that is Ward Harris. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, doing excellent, guys. Yourself?
Yeah, we're very good. Are you very nervous at all?
Mate, I am starting to get a little bit nervous. It's one of those ones, I guess, when you've been around the mark for a little while now, it starts to get a bit nerve-wracking as you start finishing towards the end of the season. But, we just got to really see how it pans out. Hopefully the DT gods decide to go my way.
All right, no worries, mate. Now, what about Ablett last week? What sort of moves did you do with him?
That was a bit of a tricky one. I probably had three thoughts on him. Originally, I was definitely going to bring Rory Sloane in, who wouldn't have been probably a bad pickup, or Levi Greenwood, and I ended up going with Greenwood. Sloane would have been a pretty handy pickup in hindsight now, or it was going to be Stevie J, who I'm just worried he's going to get rested a bit towards the end of the year. And it was, one of those ones with not a lot of bench cover with... obviously got out Rocky out as well. So, Levi Greenwood, but I think you'll finish off the season pretty well.
Yeah, nice. Calvin and I have been looking at your side. We've been studying it, working out where we've gone wrong this year. But having a good look across it, where do you see your weak links at the moment? So what sort of stuff do you feel like you need to fix up, I suppose, over the next few weeks?
Yeah, sure. It's probably the back and the forward line, to be honest. Like, I think you look at your team all the time and you go, gee, I wish I could have this player and that player. But I think realistically the back line's where it needs a bit of work. So I do have Ibo sitting on the bench there at the moment. He will get moved on this week. Right. So I'm probably fortunate I've got a bit of cash that I can upgrade him to one of the primos.
So Suckling will go then for you this week?
No, Suckling will stay. Suckling will go into a D7.
Yep.
And Ibo's probably likely to... I'm probably looking at one of the Sydney boys at the moment.
Yeah, because you've got some... We've got Bartell there, and he's rumoured every week that he's going to have a rest. So with Suckling as your D7, that's pretty good cover.
Yeah, I think so, mate. It's one of those tough ones, I guess. Like with Bartell, any of those Geelong boys being laid out, you really need that strong cover at the moment. Otherwise, you are going to get stuck with a donut, I think, at some point.
Yeah, now you're from over WA, and I'm sure you keep your ear to the ground about, any restings and stuff, especially for a big man named Aaron Sandilands. What do you feel about him at the moment? Do you feel like you're going to move him on, or what's your plans there with the big man?
He's a tough one. I actually did look at it this week, and it's one of those ones where I look at if I swing Steph Martin in and almost bench Sandy as that ruck three.
Yeah.
Probably fortunate at the moment where I've got Luke Parker sitting in my midfield. I could probably put Honeychurch on and then, swing Rockliffe in, obviously, again this week, which will be handy. So there's a few options I've got, but I am contemplating actually benching Sandy at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice because he hasn't been in the greatest form of late, but the way you've got your side set up with your dual position players, you've got Parker there in the midfield at the minute, but you've got a link basically between your mids and your forwards and your rucks and your forwards. So do you feel like you might even pick up another one to complete the whole set and get a backline dual position going on?
Absolutely. So I'm probably lucky this week. I think if we're looking at my team from last week, I'm likely to swing... I'm just trying to think what I did last week. So I do actually have Tommy Langdon in the midfield at the moment.
Yep.
That probably will stay that way, you know, going forward as well. He'll actually probably sit in my M10 for the rest of the year, and I'm not going to move him off.
So when Rocky comes on for you next week, it'll be Miles that gets sat on the pine?
Yeah, Miles is still going to be the M9 there. So it's one of those ones, the form the kid's in, you really want to try and play him. But I think it's not a bad luxury with the potential laid-outs late in the year to have a kid like that at M9.
Now, is that something that you would play around with? So, for example, you'd look at a guy like Dane Beams, who he's only had 100 in his last five. Would you go, oh, well, this week, you know, Beams has got a tough game, Miles plays an easy one. Would you ever sort of, you know, juggle those guys around?
Oh, absolutely. I think you've got to look at that match-up and week to week, and you have to do that with your trades as well. I think, you know, it's good to try and plan in advance, but... You know, really, you've got to let the dust settle after a Sunday night and look at, you know, what you think is going to be your best moves for the next week. And that obviously includes matchups as well. So, look, if I looked at it, I guess that's where we talk about someone like Steph Martin and Sandlands as well. If the matchups work out well for you, sometimes you've got to book, you know, back in those guys that we don't necessarily see as premiums.
Yeah, nice. Obviously, we've got 6 weeks to go, a couple of weeks till the fantasy finals, but you've got 6 weeks of probably sleepless nights and a fair bit of planning. How many hours do you think you're doing at the moment on your team a week?
Oh, geez, I tell you what, I wish it was probably more. I could sit there and talk it up and say it was hours and hours and hours, but I guess with work that I do, I don't get the time that I would like. But there is a bit of time when the missus goes to bed at night that you'll sit there and go, geez, what am I doing this week? And, you know, try and spend some hours up till, you know, the wee hours of the morning sometime looking at it. But, yeah, it's really as much time as you can get, I think. And I guess this close to the end of the season now, hopefully hours put in will end up with a good reward at the end.
Is there anyone, do you think, in these last few weeks that are probably a little bit of a smoky, a unique player to get on for these last few rounds? Have you looked that far ahead?
I have a little bit. Obviously, you know, North Melbourne, I was right on North Melbourne at the moment, so I think a guy like any of those midfielders, I think a Levi Greenwood, even though it's, you know, tough to kind of justify bringing a guy in at 550 who's really done nothing before. Yeah. You know, Sammy Gibson at just over 500. Even Andrew Swallow, now he's finding a bit of form apart from probably the last game. You know, those kind of guys, I think, have got good runs. You know, some of the Adelaide guys as well. Richmond guys, you know, Trent Cochin, who probably a lot of guys decided to move on. He was one that I definitely looked at and thought, you know, I reckon he's going to score 110, 115 average for the rest of the year. So I think, like you mentioned a bit earlier, you really need to be looking at those matchups and, you know, making sure you've got those right players in as we go on
to
the end of the season.
Well, there you go. I've been taking notes frantically here.
The Oracle for us.
Thanks very much for joining us, mate. All the best for the rest of the year. 6 to go, and we've got our fingers crossed for you.
And we'll be looking hard. It should be my day job over these next few weeks to see how it's looking. Good luck.
Good on you, boys. Thanks heaps for having me.
Cheers. Round 18 is the split round, Calvin, so that means that we've got games over 2 weekends. First up, this weekend coming, we've got 5 matches, and then the following weekend we've got 4, which we want to know what the go is with fantasy for this, because everyone's been asked these questions. So what do we do? Well, what happens is that we'll get a partial lockout. So on Friday night, the teams that play this weekend, so the first weekend of the split round, will then be locked out. So you can't do anything with them, so make sure they're in the right position. So that is, if you want to have an emergency on one of those players, that's clicked on. If you want to have one of those guys on a certain position in your ground, if you need to have him a forward mid in your midfield, for example,
yep,
you've got to make sure they're in those right places. Otherwise, you won't be able to touch them or move them as soon as the split round comes into effect. So that's what will happen on Friday night. Now, Calvin, you are a number cruncher. You love your captains. It means that we do have a loophole. So
a loop-de-doop.
That means that these players that aren't playing this weekend, you can edit those. So you can move them around positions with other people that aren't playing. You can still trade those if you've got trades up your sleeve and all that sort of stuff.
Just while we're quickly talking trades, I think we really need to tune into Roy's article this week.
Yeah.
Because it can get a little bit tricky if you're doing DPP moves and so multiple trades.
Making it pretty simple is that my advice from here, and you probably don't want to listen to me because of what I've been scoring.
But on things
lately,
like this, we should.
I know what I'm talking about with this. Yeah. Is that this week, I would only make trades that are absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Because next week, anything else could happen. Those remaining eight teams that are playing in the second weekend, if there's a if there's an out for one of those guys that next week, and you've used your two trades this week, or... The other thing is, if you've used a trade that's using dual position or that requires you to get money out of your second trade, then they'll be locked as well. So you won't be able to reverse that. You'll only be able to reverse your single trades next week that don't involve players that play this weekend. So I think for me, if I'm making a trade, if I need to get rid of someone that plays this weekend, I will just do that trade if I really need to. If you need to do your two trades, you're going into next week knowing that A, you don't have those trades, and B, you're probably in a bit of a chance to maybe get someone who, well, you know, could be an out that weekend. Yeah. So that's what it is. But Calvin, you are the genius when it comes to captain selections.
Loop-de-doo.
Except for when you tell us to all go Pendles.
All right, but I'll redeem myself right here.
Will you?
Because with a bit of wisdom.
We've got some loop-de-loop.
Right,
you need to explain how that works.
I will explain it. If people aren't already way confused after what you just talked about. Now, basically the loophole is a copyright Calvin term.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I should have. We created it.
Oh, yeah.
So basically what you would do is pick your captain to play in the second week.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So in the second week, we've still got Rocky, Josh Kennedy, Pendlebury, you know, Beams. They're all your guns in the second week anyway, so it's handy. But what you can do is put your vice captaincy on someone playing in the first week.
Right.
For example, Barlow against St Kilda.
Oh,
he would
could
top
go
the
huge.
List. Steve Johnson against GWS.
Oh,
wow. These guys are great people to put the V on. Now, the way it works, if Barlow scores 150 and you like Barlow's score, you put someone on your field from the second week who is not going to play and you give them the captaincy. Therefore, they score a zero, the emergency replaces them, and then your vice-captain also replaces them.
So the thing that you need to have there is obviously a bench player that you could put on that isn't playing.
Yes.
That's no chance to play, like if you had, I don't know, Giorgio, but he plays the first week, so you couldn't use him. But it's got to be someone that's a bench player that's playing in the second weekend that definitely won't be playing to be able to do that with.
And that's right. And look, many people have stuffed this up in the past.
I think you have as well, haven't you?
Never.
Oh, never.
No, I'm the king of them. King of them.
Yeah, so that's the little risk that comes to this. So that's like your little disclaimer. But
whack your
VC on them, unless you think that they're going to be better. So let's put it to you, Calvin.
Yes.
Is, like, Rocky, who probably would be our go-to captain now without Ablett because of the way he's been scoring this year, is he your number one selection?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I know you haven't done this yet.
Well, we can find out when the article comes out.
Oh, okay.
But I can tell you that Rocky will definitely be high up in it. Just a couple of things on Rocky while we're talking about him. He's an uncanny coincidence.
Right.
Like, earlier this year, he got suspended.
Yes, he did.
He came out the next week and he scores 157 against Gold Coast.
Oh, right. It was Gold Coast that week. Yeah.
And then he gets suspended last week. Guess who he comes out and plays in his next game?
It must be Gold Coast.
And guess what he's going to score?
157.
Yes, he will.
So then you might as well just put the C on him.
Well, that's the thing. So what score do you take from your vice-captain?
Well, 120 has been the figure.
Yeah.
I guess it's a little bit of a horses for courses thing with who you've got. We've got Rocky coming up. And he should be a very, very, very safe 120 plus. You would say, well, you'd think so anyway, or you'd hope so.
But points in the bank.
Points in the bank.
They are worth gold.
Does it change a little bit knowing that we don't have Ablett as a captaincy option coming up?
Does that change things? No, I think your line is still 120.
Yep.
119, go ahead and pick your captain as normal.
Yeah.
120, You looked it up.
All right. Well, there's the wise words from Calvin. Look out for Calvin's captains this week to see the form of the players. So at the moment, there's a lot of good guys this week. There's some sort of favourable matchups this week where I think we might see some big scores.
Well, even things like Josh Kennedy plays against his old team, his favourite team to score points on.
Oh, right.
So
that's interesting.
Little things like that. And he's back at... he's going to smash him. So he's definitely one that'll be in the top three this week.
All right. Well, look out for that. Plenty of questions pumping through Twitter and also on Facebook. So make sure you hook us up there at AFL Fantasy on Twitter. You can get at CalvinDT and at WarnieDT. We like to answer questions. And while Roy's on the road...
He won't answer questions.
No, he probably won't.
He wouldn't.
No.
He's too busy in the pool.
He will be. Okay, rightio, Calvin. Let's go for some of these questions. Chris Vanderwood, he wants to know, any news on Hibbard returning?
Bomber Thompson, Hibbo, line ball. Oh, he could have played, line ball. That is a joke.
Well, it's unlucky for you.
I tell you what, though. I've been kissed on with the Ellis for the last couple of weeks.
He has been very good.
95 or whatever he had the other week. And 77 this week.
You've got to take that. It's making me think that he's great on the bench. So, yeah, Hibbo, I think, back...
Has to be back this week.
Would have to be.
Has to be back this week. And it will make my team even better.
All right, Ryan's question here. Time to drop Sandy. He's looking at swinging Stephen Martin into the rucks. What do you think about that?
Okay, now... I don't want to be treading on anyone's toes. Roy's rumour mill.
Oh, right. Ooh.
He doesn't like when I do these.
No.
Sandy won't play this week.
You don't think so?
I don't think he'll play this week.
Well, they're flying to Melbourne. They play on Saturday. I guess the good thing is, hopefully they either name him out to start with, if he's going to be out. But we'll know because they're flying, there'll be plenty of stuff all over Twitter, I reckon, whether he flies or not.
Oh, definitely. He doesn't need to play. They only play St Kilda.
Right.
And... Goldstein went against St Kilda last week and just smashed him with 130.
Yeah, right.
So he had 39 hit-outs. So he only goes against Hickey, and I reckon they can play a second-string ruckman.
Zach Clark's been bloody awesome, too.
So
he's been really good.
I just don't think Sandy will be there. Now, obviously, you've got plenty of options there, as people have been talking about. You can swing Stephen Martin into the rucks there.
Well, it's not a bad option.
And our boy Brownie.
Oh, yeah.
Brownie.
If you've got the... DPP going on there. I'm pretty proud of that at the minute. It's good. But I'm playing Martin in my forward line.
Yeah.
If you've got a luxury trade, I'd dump him.
Yeah.
Like, whether he plays this week or not, he hasn't been himself.
Yeah.
The little devil's advocate thing here with, easy time for him to rest. They do obviously have the week off next week because it is the split round.
Yes.
So, does he need 2 weeks off?
No, I don't think he needs 2 weeks.
It probably changes things a little bit. And that probably, nice little segue into this question here from Philip Molly Malone. What do you guys think of the fight for the top four being so close and its impact on teams compared to, like, other years' runaway leaders? For example, the old Dockers last year, they rested all those players in round 23, which threw fancy coaches into turmoil for the grand final weekend.
Yep.
So stuff like that. Because it's so much closer, and we've got this added factor now of a split round, 5 weeks out from the real finals, not the fantasy finals. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's going to save us a lot more heartache than what it has in the past. So someone like a Bartell, if he hasn't rested by now, and he's got a bye, he's got his rest coming up, like, surely he doesn't need another one.
And the Cats need to win to get
there.
That's
right.
So
I think we're a little bit luckier this year in that respect. So that's a good question.
Yeah, that is a very good question. All right. So with going back to that Sandy question, is going Martin into the rucks a good long-term move, do you think?
He's averaging over 100.
He's actually the highest averaging forward and ruck, I think, of the last...
Wouldn't surprise me. So, no, he needs to be there. He'll be there for the whole year.
Yeah, and Lewenberger had a little bit of a setback in the kneeful last week. With his Achilles. So jeez, you're a bad man.
What? No, I mean it. It was a shame, poor fella.
Yeah, so it could be a good option. All right, here is the question. And I counted up 38 of these related to the one man...
Oh, no. We need to do a bit
We need to do something about
I
this.
I can do pig CPR.
Can you?
Yeah, watch. Clear!
That's right. All right. So the big question is Dane Swan.
Oh, Swan.
What do we do with the, well, are we going to call him former pig?
No.
Are we
going to,
he's still the pig?
Once granted pig title,
right,
he always has pig title. He's good. Still a pig.
I'm going to give you some little things, Calvin.
Go.
He's now worth $482,000.
Oh, my goodness.
His break even has shot out to 135 off the back of his 57 last week.
57.
I think 57 and he had a 52. There is two worst scores that he's had like in about 6-7 years, I think. So it's something ridiculous like that. The stats were huge. But his last three games, he's averaged 77. The last five, he's gone 87. Like, it's just seriously not what we like. He's... So it's been 3 weeks since a ton. So we haven't seen a ton for 3 weeks. And the other part of it is the whole season, he's only had one score that I would call a pig score.
Agreed.
And that would be his 145 against North Melbourne in round five. He's had a 122 there, but that's what we should be expecting
that's
from him.
That's it.
Like, that's what he's averaged before.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
It has been a devastating year,
well,
really. For
I'm not a Swan owner. I'm not a Swan.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Does he know that?
I hope not.
No, well, Swanee, if you're listening, jeez.
Look, he knows what he scored.
Yeah.
He's angry himself with what's happening. You cannot score points sitting in the forward line doing nothing. In a game like that when Essendon spanked him, he's not going to score. He needs to be traded.
Right.
Now, he needs to go.
Because people are asking this question. He needs to be traded, obviously.
Yes. He's got to go.
Like,
because
he's got to go. He's 482, which is not a lot of money to spend him. You're going to need some cash in the bank to actually trade him to something. What are some of the options that you would see out there? Like, you're obviously going to need cash. You're not going to trade him, straight trading for someone, unless you maybe did... The trade of the week this week, everyone's bringing in Sam Mitchell because he has bottomed out in price. And so you can make a little bit of cash there and then eventually swing him into the back line and that sort of thing. But
Your probably best option for Swan at the moment would probably be Stevie J, who's still quite cheap.
Yeah.
Now, he's gone back-to-back 130-plus games.
Yep.
And, of course, has GWS this week. Put the vice captaincy on him, instant reward. But, yeah, he's just got to go the pig. You can't be putting up with a premium midfielder who just sits forward.
Yeah, so probably the question for a lot of people, I would love to get rid of him this week.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing.
Yep.
Saying goodbye to the pig. But where does he sit in sort of trade priorities? Like, would you trade a Sanderlands over the pig?
Yeah, if he's not named, you would. But look, that's the thing. If Swan sits there...
How much of a luxury trade is it to actually get rid of the pig?
At the moment...
Mm.
You'd still be trying to do it, I think.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's the only midfielder now in my midfield, so only player there, that is averaging under 100.
Yeah, no.
And at the start of the season, you would have thought, well, that's just a lot.
He's dropped around about 150,000.
Yep, it's sad.
And yeah, so he has to go.
He does. All right, let's look at some more questions here. This guy here, Peter, he would like to know, where's the delete my midfield button? I think a few of us have had some issues with that. How did your midfield hold up this week?
Mine's good. Mine's solid. Look, I was a bit nervous when Griffin went out and Libba had to play by himself. He doesn't like playing by himself, but he's still scratched up to about 100. And Brandon Ellis, who's been awesome, he had seven straight 100-plus scores and last week dropped... I think it was like a 94 for the first time.
Time to go for him, is it?
No, you got to. But that's the thing. You got to hold on to these sort of guys until they fail.
There's
and I don't think that's a fail.
That whole holding thing about the game. All right, Jake Taylor would like to know, is Morabito a good M9 or is he too risky with rests, he says? I'd also add to it with vests.
Oh.
Because it rhymes
and
it's actually means something. But do you reckon he's a good one? He's about 194K now, I think. So
they're preparing him ready for finals football.
Yeah, so he's worn a vest in both games so far. He's dropped value. What do you reckon?
He's best 22. They love him. He is a great pickup to sit on your bench. Look,
played, his scoring's been solid. In his time on ground, it's been very good.
Like, see, I've got...
Racking up some touches
Zach,
in the time.
No, I've got... O'Brien on my bench.
Yep, still.
I had two guys, and that Tom Barry.
Oh, yeah. He's down under 100K, I think.
Oh, that's how I like him. Yeah, but like, they're useless for me. So I need to get more of a cushion there with someone like him.
Yep. All right, Brad Kay, one of your mates there, Calvin, at AFL underscore mad. Zaharakis or Kieran Jack? Which one of those two blokes would you bring in?
Kieran Jack. All day.
Yeah.
He is on the 119 last week. He's just a beast. And, you know, he had 115 when he played Hawthorn earlier this year in round eight. So, yeah, instant reward for a guy like him.
Yeah. Oh, we got to speak to number one in the world, but guy that finished second last year, Brett Fishpool. He was a gun last year, but he's thrown this one out.
Yep.
How cheap Colin Sylvia is. Could you do it?
Don't even think about it.
Oh, I think Colin's done. He's in the Hall of Fame for the Warndogs, though, as a member.
Colin?
Of yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's been a fantastic servant of the Warndogs over the years. Rightio, this is a question. A lot of people have sent this one in. Is it time to bring in Sam Mitchell? I think the answer is
it's 100% yes.
Yep,
he's so cheap at the moment. And with those other Hawthorn guys that you've got back there, like a Suckling and a Birch, he's just got to come back in.
Yeah, and he had 103 on the weekend in a team where the Hawks didn't act. They shared the ball around a lot, actually. There weren't too many guys that scored highly for them. So
he was the only person to get over 100.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty... It's a good option. He looked better, I think.
Well, now, look, he's played seven games this year, if you take away the one that he got injured in.
Yeah.
He's had a 140 and two 120s.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So he's going to be, from here on in, the highest averaging defender.
Yeah.
So you've got to be bringing him in while he's at bargain price.
Yeah, it's good, because he's up to, like, his price has dropped down to 443. That's as low as it's going to get, you'd think. His break-even's still in the 100.
And
so
he probably won't get that this week then, because he plays Sydney, his worst team, to fantasy points against. In fact, over his career, Dog, here's another stat. I'm full of them, right?
You've done some research.
I'm usually full of something, but it's stats today. He's played Sydney 19 times in his career for only 300 scores.
Wow.
There you go.
That's a
great hashtag stat. Calvin's captains.
Well, everyone should read that. All right. Last question here comes from Adam Lee. Between Calvin, Roy and Warnie, which of you guys has the better team? I'm going to say that mine is not, because I've been awful. So normally I'd talk mine up. But
yeah. I like Roy's team because of all of his DPPs.
Yeah, well, that's
going to be handy.
It will be very, very handy. The dual position links, and this is, as much as Roy is the golden boy and we talk him up a fair bit, I think what his strategy there, and we heard earlier with Ward what he's doing, the number one guy in the world, the dual position links will be handy, and it'll allow you to just have that flexibility. Yes, we've got two trades per week, but if you can make some moves by switching some dudes like that, Calvin, although I think your team's just about the best.
It is the
best.
You
are scoring all right, and you've worn donuts the last 2 weeks.
Oh, it's been a...
So on paper...
On paper, I always have the best team.
You do. Right, we've blown the siren, Calvin. It is game over for this. We've got a big week coming up. It is our split round.
Yep.
So round 18 split round. You've got 5 games this weekend. Don't forget there's a full lockout on Friday night for the 10 teams. So players from those 10 teams that are appearing in those 5 games on the first weekend. You'll be able to edit your players from the remaining teams and the remaining games up until the Friday night of that second weekend of this round. So don't forget that. Also, going across the year, because it is the split round, it's over 2 weekends, we've got four.
This is crazy.
4 NAB AFL Fantasy Match Day games coming up. So make sure you get your entries in for those. $250 and an AFL Live Pass is up for grabs in each one of those. So Friday night is Carlton and North Melbourne. Saturday night is GWS and Geelong. You can set all of your teams and your lineups well in advance, so get them in. So if you've got 10 minutes or so, you can probably knock together about, I don't know, almost a dozen teams.
While you're on the toilet, just pick your teams.
Because you can do it on your smartphone, Calvin.
There you go.
So get yourself involved with that. All right, thank you for listening. Calvin, any words of
wisdom? It's been a pleasure, Dog. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you today.
It has been. No,
and
Roy.
You've confused me.
You'll be right. Just need to know that your teams just need to be sorted on Friday night that has anyone playing this weekend.
Okay.
Just don't go trying to reverse trade with players that are...
Right, I can do it. I can do it.
Right, good luck.